is Daf Kuf Hey. We got to the very last line of Kuf Dalet Amr Bey. Just to read the last few words. The Gemara says that we're still talking about the Indian of Ksiva on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tana Niskavin Lichtov Os Achas. A person had in mind to write just one letter. V'olu B'yado Shai. But somehow two letters ended up coming out. Which, how does that happen? So Rashi explains here, the very top of Kuf Hey. V'olu B'yado Shai. Hayinu Nami Niskavin Lichtov Ches. He had in mind to write the letter ches, but kasev shnei zayin, but instead two zayins came out. We know that a ches is a combination of two zayins that's connected with a roof. So he didn't put the roof on top, he didn't do the gag on top, so they're two zayin. So he wrote two letters accidentally. You're chai for doing so, because in the end he wrote shnei osios. But the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, v'hatanan pater. The Mishnah says for doing that, one would be pater. If you wanted to write one letter and you wrote two letters, that's pater. So the Gemara says there is no contradiction. Lokasha had the bay is yune, had the lo bay is yune. So there's a machlokas how to interpret this answer. But if you look at Rashi, and I'll share with you another answer other than Rashi. But Rashi first says the bay is yune. Shedain tzrichos rashi hazainin lezainin betagin shalhen. We know there's shatnez gates. Shatnez gates are the seven letters that we have a mesora halach mishmishina. You have to write on top of them like little zayin, a small zayin. So on top of let's say the a shin. We have on the top of the shin, you have small, tiny little zayins in the Torah, these tagin, these crowns. So it's a situation where one is you needed to write the zayin, and the other case is you didn't need to write the zayin. In other words, if you wrote, if you still needed to write the zayin on top of it, that was incomplete, and therefore one would not be chayv. But if it's a situation where it's a letter that doesn't require the zayin on top, then you've already completed the letters, and you would be chayiv for writing such letters. So that's the case, whether you need to write the zayin or you don't need to write the zayin. So there are different interpretations of this. In light of this discussion of the need to write a zayin, the small zayins, on top of a shatnez gates, which is shin, ayin, tes, nun, zayin, gemel, and tzadi, that tiny zayin on top of each of the letters, there's a machlokas we've shown him, if a Sefer Torah does not have those little zayins on top, whether such a Sefer Torah will be kosher or not. So some poskim say, some Rishonim say, that's kosher. You don't need the zayins on top. It's certainly a hiddur. It certainly should be done, but if it's not there, it's still a kosher Sefer Torah. Others say that missing the zayin is actually possible. Such a Sefer Torah will not be able to use. Another discussion that comes up, when writing a get, you need safras to write a get. It's not just about halachas. You have to know how to write the Sefer Torah. So when writing the letters in a get, does one have to make those small zayins on top of the shatnez gates letters that appear in the get as well? That too is a discussion in the Rishonim. So Gemara now says, back inside, two lines down. Kasav os achas notrikin, person writes a little letter like a ration, a little chip at the end, which stands for a rav or rebbe, something like that. Rebbe Yeshua ben Besera mechayev, chachamim potim. So this is a machlok, is whether writing Rashi Tevos no trikin, whether or not one would be chayiv or pater on Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to know in general, how do you know such a thing exists? Who says Rashi Tevos is even a concept to work with in halacha? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Minayin lilashon no trikin minatora. How do we know such a concept exists? And the Gemara is going to give like 5-6 examples where we see Rashi Tevos no trikin works. Shenemar says ki av hamon goyim nisaticha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made Avram Avinu a father, av hamon, and the Gemara darshins av hamon is Rashi Tevos, stands for av nisaticha lumos. I made you a father. That's the aleph. The av, the bays, is bacher nisaticha bumos. I made you a bacher, the one that has been chosen. The hay. Hamon is chaviv nesaticha beumos. I made you very dear. That's the hamon is the hay and the ches can be switched sometimes. The mem of hamon is melech nesaticha beumos. I made you a king over the nations. And the vav of hamon is vasik nesaticha beumos. I made you vasik, which means to be distinguished. And then the final nun of hamon is neman nesaticha beumos. I made you trusted. So the word av hamon means av hamon is stands for again av bachar. Ches we said was Chaviv, Melech, Vasik, and Neman. So that's a Rashi Tevos, that's no trikin. Rabbi Yochanan di Deyamar, he himself, gave another example. Anochi, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi, I gave you the Aseres HaDibros, I gave you the Torah. Anochi is no trikin, because he could have said Ani Hashem, like Ani. What's Anochi? What's the extra letter Chav there? Anochi versus Ani. So the Gemara Darshan's Anochi stands for four things. Ana, Nafshi, Ksivas Yehavis. That's Rashi Tevos Anochi. I, Ani Nafshi, I myself, Ksivas Yehavis, I gave you that which is written. Yehavis is to give, Ksivas to write. So I wrote it and gave you the Torah. That's what Anochi stands for. You have other interesting things. Just as a side point, Anochi just reminds me of another case. Anochi, when Yaakov Avinu was underneath, he fell asleep on Har Bayis and he saw the ladder, and he said, Anochi Liadati. So it says that the Rashmi Ashrapoli explains, Anochi, that Yaakov Avinu didn't know that his face was one of the four faces on the Kisei HaKavod above him. So Anochi stands for, Aleph is for Aryeh, there's a lion, it's a Pasuk Nicheskel. And Nun is a Nesher, an eagle. A Chaf is a Kruv, a baby's face. And Yaakov, Yud is Yaakov Avinu. So Anochi stands for Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, and Yaakov in terms of the Kisei HaKavod, the different images. It's implanted on the four legs of the Kisei HaKavod, which was above Yaakov Avinu when he fell asleep in Har Bayis. So then the Gemara says, Rabbanan Amri, they say, Amira, Anochi stands for Amira, Ni'ima, Ksiva Yehiva. That's the Rashi Tevas. Amira, it was said. Rashi's Amira means she ne'ima, something, a very sweet, soft, pleasant speech. Ksiva, there was a writing, the Luchos was written. And Yehiva, there was a giving. So there was a saying, there was a statement, there was a writing, and there was a giving. That's what Anochi stands for. And Ikadami, others say, Anochi is l'mafre. You should read Anochi, the letters backwards. It should be first Yehiva, Ksiva, Ne'manim, Amareha, which means it was given in writing, and the Luchos was written, Yehiva, Ksiva. And Ne'manim Amareha, and it was said through trusted statements. So that's the understanding according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's his example of a notrikin. So then comes along the Bei Rabbi Nasan.
That's an interesting question, though. Notrikin, a resh with an apostrophe.
Does
that know he's a word?
No.
Are words yichayev for those?
Yeah, no, but we see kind of that a letter can stand for a whole word. So granted, these examples, because you can't have a Torah. Torah doesn't have just one standing alone. But at least you could have a letter that stands for a word. So even though it's in the context, yeah. So then the Gemara says, the Bei Rabbi Nosan Amri, they say, Ki Yarat HaDerech LeNegdi. So this is referring to the story of Bilam and his donkey going off the path here. So you were very fast along traveling along the way. So the Pasuk explained that the Drasha here is Yarat stands for Yara Ra'asa Natasa. That's Rashi Teva's Yarat. Yara Natasa means that Yara, there's a fear. Rasa, you saw a malach. And Natasa, you turned off to the side. So Yarat stands for, again, also, Notrikin, Yara Ra'asa Natasa. Comes along the Bay, Rabbi Yishmael Tana. He taught another source, another example of this. I'm sure there are many, many more. Carmel, it says, with respect to the carbon omer, it has to be a Carmel, says the Pasuk. What does Carmel mean? Kar male, where it's full of grain. So Carmel is really a combination of, it's not so much the other ways. I mean, the word Carmel itself has the words, two words, Kar and Male in it, as opposed to like Anochi had a whole word from the letter. So this is not the greatest example of fitting into the rest of the picture. But either way, this is some form of a short version standing for a longer word. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, he says, V'hu kilalani kila nimretis. That David HaMelech said that Shimi ben Gera had cursed him. So what does that mean? Kila nimretzes. So the Gemara explains it's no trick. And nimretzes stands for that noefu. He was a noef. He was a moavi. He was a rotzeachu. He's a murderer. He's a tsorir, which means an enemy. A toeva. He was something disgusting. So that's what nimretzes means. That was the explanation of the curse that Shimi had cursed Melch David. Then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the final example brought, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar ma nidaber ma nitzadaik. So this is referring to the Shvatim about Yosef. So ma nidaber ma nitzadaik, what could we say? What could we justify? So what does it nitzadaik stand for? Nechonim anachnu, we're correct. Tadikim anachnu, we're tadikim. Tahorim anachnu, dakim anachnu, we're very pure. Kadoshim anachnu, so nitzadik refers to five different descriptions of what the standing of was of the shiftei ka. So that's the example, that's no chicken. Let's finish off the parak and then begin the next parak. So the Mishnah says now, Hakosev ishtei osi, as a person writes two letters, bishtei halamos, with two different halamos, meaning he wrote a letter, he didn't know it was Shabbos, and then he remembered it was Shabbos, then he forgot it was Shabbos again. So each letter was written in a different helam, in a different forgetting, but there was a separation of a yediyah. In between each letter, he remembered it was Shabbos. So this is a machlokas in the Mishnah here. So again, Akosev beiz osios b'shtei halamos, achas shacharis, achas bein harbayim, one was in the morning, he wrote a letter, and then he remembered it was Shabbos, and then later on in the afternoon, he wrote a second letter. So Rabbi Gamliel, mechayv v'chachamim potum, this is the machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel is willing to connect the two letters together as a shir, and Chachamim say, no, there was a separation. One was in the morning, and then one was in the afternoon, and there was a yediyah, there was an awareness of Shabbos in between, and that yediyah was able to be mafsik between the two osios, in which case he'd be pater v'alas. So, b'mai k'mithli, what's the nekudas machlokas? What's the root of this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Tanakama? So b'may kamifagi, Rabbi Gamliel Saver, ein yediya l'chatishir. You can't have a yediya v'chatishir. In order for yediya to come into play and to, that awareness to separate two different actions, it's only when an action was done, a full action. If a person wrote two osios in the morning, he's chai v'chatas. If he forgets, and then rather he remembers it's Shabbos, there's yediya, the Shabbos, then he writes another two osios, so he's chai two separate chatas. So a yediya, that awareness can only separate between two melachas if each melacha in its own right has a proper shir. But if each melacha in its own right does not have a proper shir, which means you did a half a melacha, that melacha was really, it wasn't a maisa to be chal at all. And if it wasn't a maisa to really be chal, the yediya can't, you can't separate that which is nothing. A zero can't be split up. You can't divide a zero. So an os in the morning is a zero, an os in the afternoon is a zero in its own right, so the yediya therefore doesn't exist. So you are able to somehow combine the two osios in the one in the morning, one in the evening, and be chayv achatas and shtei osios. And Rabbanan Savri, no. Yesh yediya l'chatzi shir. A yediya does have the ability to separate between a chatzi shir, and therefore he's not chayv achatas because he did one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and you cannot combine the two together. Okay, that's end Hadron Alach Habonet. Let's begin now Perek HaOreg, which again, it's only scary the rest of the Amud. It's a little bit scary about how this works, but Baruch Hashem, thank you to Ricky. We have this little loom with us, so we'll hopefully show everyone here, those who are not here, who are listening online, will not get the seat, but hopefully will be as clear as possible. Okay, so just to review before you begin, I said before this year, I'll say it again now, the Shesi Ve'erev. The Shesi are the white strings going down this way, and the Erev are the yellow strings, or blue or red, that you put across. So that's just in terms of the terms. The Shtei Bati Nirin, these blue things where you thread the white strings through, are called Bati Nirin, that holds the white in place. And this red thing, which goes back and forth, every time you put this through here, the white little chassis, you put the Erev is the yellow, you put it through all the way. So then it starts off this way. The red Misarik, the comb, puts it down so everything's tight here. And then you pick this up again, and then you put the yellow through, and then you put out a cross, and then you back and then close it again. So the shesi are the white strings, and the yellow strings going across to the Erev. And again, this is the Masari going back and forth, and these are batinir, and these are just the terms. And you keep doing that, you end up having, you wove something. So that being in mind, having that in mind, so the Mishnah begins as follows, the Perek begins as follows. That Rabbi Eliezer Omer har oreg shlosha chutin betchila ve'achas ala oreg chayef. We saw earlier, we'll repeat again, that the Chachamim hold that if you do two, you weave two times across, it seems, I think it's across, you wrap over twice, two threads, that's chayiv, but Rabbi Elazar says three times. So if you do three weaves, if that's the right term, so three threads, so then that would be chayiv for Rabbi Eliezer, while Chachamim hold two. So three for Rabbi Eliezer, but if you already have this woven, I'm adding on just one thread, then one thread would be chayiv to Rabbi Eliezer if you're adding on to it. So again, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'orek shlosha chutim, if you thread three strings, betchila, when you're starting off a cloth, you're chayiv in the beginning, but achas ala arik, to add one onto an already existing arik, that which is already woven, one thread on the end would be chayiv. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Chachamim Omer, bein betchila bein basof, shiro beiz chutim. Whether it's in the beginning, you're starting off a cloth, or you're completing a cloth, or you're in the middle of a cloth, it's always the shear of Ariga is always shnei chutin, always two threads. That's the understanding of the Chacham. So the Mishnah says further now, ha'osa shtei bati nirin, a person who passes the white thread, the shesi, through the bati nirin. There's two bati nirin here, these two blue things. So if you pass through two of them, so one is a person's chayv, a chatas for doing so, just threading it through, setting up the loom itself is chayv. Ha'osa shtei bati nirin binirin, using these the loom. The b'keiris, it's a some type of wool. I'm not sure which part of the keiris is here. Let me see the English definition. Maybe that helps us out. You put it through the keiris. They say here, we'll explain in the Gemara what the keiris is. Banafe, you're making a sieve or a kiver or some type of a fine sieve or a coarse sieve or a basal, you're weaving a basket or weaving a sieve, so that to your chayiv for weaving. So you can have weaving like a cloth and you can even weave a basket would be subject to the melacha of oreg. The tofer shtei tfiros, and when it comes to sewing two stitches, which of course is a completely different melacha than this, that also has to do with cloth. So one who sews two different tfiros, two stitches, is chayiv. And a kore amnas litbor shtei tfiros, one who tears two threads in order to sew two threads in its place, would be chayiv. That's kore amnas litbor. So these are the melachas. So let's go through the Gemara now. The Gemara says, ki also Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came, So he, Tanishtaim, he thought the Braisa said a person threads two threads for weaving his chayiv. Ah, but Vahadan and Tanan Shalosh, doesn't our Mishnah say you need three, according to Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara says, Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. Ha ba'alime ha b'ktini. Depends on the thread being thick or skinny, or thin. So these threads are skinny. I imagine these yellow ones are a little bit thicker. So depending what type of thread you're using, how many threads? Would it be two or three? So what does that mean? Which is thick two or is skinny two? So the Gemara says there's room to say both directions. In other words, amrile lahagisa, amrile lahagisa. Some say that if it's thick threads, it's only two stitches, but the thin ones are three. Others say the opposite. No, thick threads, you need three stitches, and the thin ones, you need two stitches. So what's the svara? Amrile lahagisa, some say in this direction, that means alime, the thicker threads, talasa losasri. If you put three threads together, it's not going to break up. It will stay strong. Like right now, this is staying strong right here. But Shrei, if you only do two threads, such it's going to unravel on its own, because when something's thicker, imagine rope. You can't really tie a rope very well, but a tiny string, you could tie very tight with one knot. So the thicker it is, it's harder to make a knot, to make a stitch, or to weave something. So with thicker ropes, you need three threads to make it stay strong, but two won't work. But Ktini, if they're very skinny and will remain tight, then Trei Namidlo Sasi, even two threads will be enough to hold them in place. However, Amrile Lahagis, others say the other direction. That Ktini, very small threads, thin threads, Tlasi Yediyah. Three, if you do three threads, it will be Yediyah, it will be known, it will be recognizable. Meaning from the outside, if I do a tiny thread, put them together, you won't see much. Nothing has been accomplished from the naked eye, at least. So when it comes to thin threads, you need to do three. Using three threads, this way it will be clear from the outside something has been accomplished. But Shrei lo yudia, but if you only do two threads, when dealing with skinny threads, nothing will be noticeable, and that will be actually pater velasa. But Shrei, if you come to alimi, thick threads, then even two threads of thick will be recognizable. Trei nami yadi, and you'll be chai v'chatas for only two when dealing with alime, thicker type of threads. So the Gemara now says, Tani, the Braisa teaches us that ha'oreg, Shlosha chutin betchila, a person who weaves together three threads when beginning a cloth, ve'echad al ha'arig, or he adds one thread to an already existing fabric, chayiv is chayiv. That's Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim omrim, they hold, bein betchila, bein besof, I don't care if it's starting off a cloth, I don't care if it's in the middle of making a fabric, shi'urin shnei chutin, it's always two threads. Ubisaf, when it comes to the saf of the edge of it, when you're lining out the cleaning off the end of the after you weave something, the threads are hanging and you cut it off, so you have to sew everything together, stitch the hem. So that stitching of the edge or the hem, so that shnei chutin berochav shlosha batanir, and that is two threads on the safa in the width of three batanir, which means we said batanir is each hole you put through here. So we're talking about two threads here. But they have to be three into three of the blue holes there. So I guess these are the threads here, two of them, but the width of three batinir. And that's what's being described here. That amount, pretty much that amount here, that would be how much one would be chayiv if he were to stitch the edge, the safa. So the Gemara says, why? That's so small, though. That's a tiny amount here. Why only that? Why only a distance of three batinir? And we'll see later on, you need for making a cloth outside the safa, you need much longer than that. Why only three batinir when it comes to the safa, when it comes to the lip, the edge, the hem? So the Gemara says, what's this similar to? La'orig tziltza katan. A person makes a very small belt. When a person makes it, a tiny belt, it goes around the whole waist, but it's only the thickness of the belt. It's only shnei chutin berochav shlosha batinir. It's only the thickness of three batinir, which is only that. So just like a belt could be that small,
a bracelet also
could be very very thin going around, so too when it comes to making the hem of something, the hem only has to be so much to close it and tighten up the fabric, and that's why you're chayiv even for that shear when it comes to making the safa around the fabric. Then the Gemara says, v'ha'oreg shlosha chutin betchila, a person who makes three threads just to start off a new fabric. V'echad ala oreg, we said above, or he's adding one thread onto an existing fabric. He's chayiv, because stama Rabbi Eliezer. The stama, Braisa is like Shitas Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah. Tani idach, another Braisa says, ha'oreg shnei chutin, a person who threads two strings, al ha'gas. Gas is on a large piece of fabric. Valha imra, or in the border of the fabric, or chayiv is chayiv for doing so. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, afil echad, while the Tanakhama is the sheet of the Chachamim, that you need two, whether you're starting off a fabric or whether you're finishing off a fabric, it's always two. Rabbi Eliezer says, even one, if it comes to finishing off a fabric, adding to a fabric, even one thread would be enough to be mechayv echatas. Ubisafo, when it comes to the hem, the edge, then shnei chutin berochav shlosha batinir, like we said before, it's two threads, only a width of three batinir and only. One is chai for doing so, like we saw above. They're just repeating pretty much what we just saw. What is it similar to? Like we said above, the orig tiltakatan, like weaving a very skinny bracelet or belt. Shnei chutin al rochav shlosha batinir. And that's two threads, that's only a distance, a width of three batinir. So the Gemara then says, v'ha'orig al ha'orig shnei chutin al hagas, a person who adds two threads to a large fabric. V'ha'imra, and one who adds onto the border, the edge of the fabric, he's chayv, that's stama kurabanan. So that's the machlokas. We have one brisa, stam brisa is like Rabbi Eliezer, and then another brisa that the stam brisa is like chachamim, where they argue the shear of orig.
Which is interesting because if you do two threads, it's really lav bar kaima because they just slip out on both sides. If you do three, the center one will stay.
It's interesting. So for chachamim, it's hard to understand why chachamim allow two.
It's lav bar kaima, I mean, it just slips out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
On both sides.
Okay, it could be the machlokas might be about this. Always, every machlokas in Hilchos Shabbos is always about the ma'isa versus the totsa.
Right.
So it could be that Rabbi Elazar requires a totsa, something that has been accomplished, which is only with three, but Chacham hold that two. Once you've done a ma'isa, you've done two threads, that's a ma'isa, even though the ma'isa may not be so everlasting, you still have accomplished a ma'isa, even though nothing will last for a long period of time. Okay, now the Gemara continues to quote from the Mishnah, Ha'osa shnei batinir, a person who threads the shesi, the white strings, through these two blue things to the batinirim, that the Mishnah says, that itself is chayv. My banir, what does it mean, banir? They're called the heddles. Abai says, tarte bibate nire, you put it two times, these little holes here, v'chad de banira, and one time around the rope itself. So again, I think what's being described here is, maybe Ricky can help me a little bit, but I think you're putting it kind of through each one twice, each blue thing, and it wraps around, I think, this, the bottom here.
Yeah,
so you have to put it here once and come back around the other way, then wrap it underneath.
I guess it goes all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, it has to, I think, go through both of them, both blue things, and wrap around one of these loops in the end here. That's what it's describing here. That's chayv. I think I might have a...
Right, I mean, you have to get through two threads through
to the blue things.
The blue.
Right, okay. So that's what...
This one also doesn't accomplish anything because you can't...
It will just unravel, I guess. So again, my benirin was near me. Amar ba again, tarte, bebate nire, two that go through these holes, each of the blue ones, v'chada benira, and one wraps around this wooden piece at the bottom here. And then the Gemara says, my bekiros, what does it mean bekiros when you're trying to thread a kiros as described by the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, bekiros is a amarav mitsuvisa, which is the heddle frame, which is apparently used to make weave curtains, it says. So I don't know exactly what that is in this. I don't know if we have it with us here, but I think it's something else special here. They have a picture in the Mesifta here. It's something else that's used to hold everything in place. It's a small thing here. I don't know. I think it's describing that.
This is more like, because this is more like knit, not woven.
Uh-huh. So something doing
this
knitting.
It's more like knitting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this
goes
knitting
up and down as opposed to across.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's this other thing, right? Exactly. It says it's malo morid sanirin aide raglov. So
exactly.
Use your legs.
That's knitting.
Uh-huh. So you see that people sewing, tailors, they use the thing to pedal. So that's what's described. You do back and forth somehow that goes up and down, and that adds another layer, I think, within the weaving. Okay, so that ends our discussion for now, at least, of Oreg. Hopefully we got a little bit something. I think this is very helpful, so thank you, Ricky. Let's get back now to things that might be a little bit more in our understanding without these diagrams. So we are now the last few lines of Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. We're five lines up. The Gemara says, a tofer shtei tfiros. A person who stitches, he sews two stitches, such a person is chayef. So the Gemara now says that hatanina, we already learned, bavos melachos, that hatofer shtei tfiros, we already learned the mission, daf ayin gimel, that one who's tofer shtei tfiros is chayv. Why are we repeating it here again in Daf Kuf Hei? We learned it in Daf Ayin Gimel. So the Gemara says, Mishum debekabai lemisrei seifa. It was really simply to pave the way to mention the next line of this mission here, that hakorei amnas litvor shtei tfiros, that the one who tears an amount of space to sew two stitches in its place, that's why we said first hatover shtei tfiros, to again set the stage to hakorei amnas litvor shtei tfiros. But the Gemara says, if you remember Daf Ayin Gimel, Ketani Nami, we also learned in the Mishnah Ayin Gimel, HaTofer, and also HaKore. We learned both of them already. So why repeat these two Malachas here on Daf Kufhei? So the Gemara says, HaNami Tani Nabawas Malachas, that was also taught. Ella Mishum de Kabay Lemisei Sefer, because we want to teach the Sefer, which is the next Mishnah we're going to see in Amud Beis here. It was really setting the stage for the next Mishnah, which is what? That HaKareya B'Chamas, so a person tears something because he's angry. Or Al Mesa, because a person lost the relative. He tears Mishum Hachi Katani HaTofer Shtei Tfiros. This is all just to, again, set the stage up for the very next Mishnah, which we'll see momentarily. The last line of the Gemara says, HaKareya Amnas Litfor, a person who tears an amount to Litfor Shtei Tfiros, Heichem Mishkach. So how do you have such a case where you're tearing an amount to sew in its place two stitches? So the Gemara explains on the top of Kufhei, Amud Beis now, the Gemara says the situation of the 1 second, let me turn the page. The Avda Kikissa. You have kind of like a pocket here. A pocket, if you look at Rashi in the top of Kufhei Amud Beis here, Kikissa. Holechasu miskapelas, sometimes when you weave something, you have a shirt, something sticks out a little bit. It gets off the mark, and something gets pulled. Shein habeged, says Rashi, shava, the cloth, the fabric isn't straight. Uboet bebeged kimin kis, a little pocket kind of comes out, it doesn't stay tight in the weaves. Vitzarch lekro habeged lemata, you need to tear that part out, and then sew in its place to keep it tight. So if that person has a pull in their suit jacket or whatever they're wearing, that little bubble, that little pocket, so what do you do with it? You can't reweave it, so you could cut it out, an amount, and then stitch them together, a little patch in the place. That's what's being described here. Okay. The new Mishnah begins on the top of Kuf Hamer Beis. Hakareya b'chamaso, a person teared because he's so angry, or almesa because a relative was lost, b'al makalkalin, or any other type of kilkel, any type of destructive act. We know all malachas on Shabbos are only chai because it's a misakin, it's a tikkun, it's a constructive act. But when it's destructive, tearing, and all other makalkalin is p'tur. It's part of a lasser. Hamakalkal manas litakin, however, a person tears, destroys in order to fix something, shiro kimisakin, the same shir of fixing. In other words, we have soser amanas livnos as an example of destroying in order to reconstruct something. You have korei amanas litfor, you have mochek amanas lichtov, you have many examples of the malachas themselves are inherently destructive, but if it's with the purpose of constructing something, fixing something, then even the destructive act is viewed as a tikkun. So what's the shear of the destructive act? Whatever the shear of the positive act would be, so when it comes to shteis tfiros, sewing something is two tfiros. So that means tearing something, al-manas litvor, in order to sew, would have to be shteis tfiros as well. That's what the Gemara says. Shear ha-malabain, when it comes to malabain, which is whitening something, ha-manafetz, which I think is some type of combing that we're talking about now, threads. When you make threads like of cotton, so there's a process here. So malabain is the first stage of you whiten the cotton or the wool, I should say. Manafetz is anything that's tangled, you comb it through until it's straight.
Like the fibers parallel to each other.
Before you spin it, you have all.
Because it's combing, meaning the fibers are all mixed up. So in order for the machine to spin, all the fibers have to be running to the same.
So you comb it straight. So it's like a person's had hair,
exactly,
you know, long hair.
Yeah.
You take a comb to make it straight. So you comb the.
It is exactly
the, yeah.
Combing.
We comb the wool to make everything straight, and then hatzaveh is you color it. Hatoveh is you spin it. When you spin it, now you're making it into threads to use. And kimlo rochav hasit kafel has to be the size as of a sit, which is some type of, Rashi explains, if you take a look at Rashi, the shear of hasit, Rashi says, sit hu hefsek shebein etzba la'ama, the difference between your finger and your am is the middle finger, so you split your finger like the peace sign, that's the shear of a hasit, how wide it has to be to the shear of spinning and all these things, but twice over, so kafel, so it's double that distance. And then the Mishnah concludes, v'ha'oreg shnei chutin shiro kamal esit. And one who now weaves two threads, that's the length of kamal esit. So that was the question we saw before. Remember we had earlier that a person, when Amun Aleph, we had said that a person did something the length of, what was it again? When it came to threading the batei nirin, we said only the size of two batei nirin, which is much smaller than this over. For weaving, it's that wide. But for this, it was only that wide. So what's the difference? So we had said before, because people sometimes make a very thin belt. That's for small belts. But when it comes to regular weaving, this would be the shear of how many stitches, or how wide the stitch would have to be in order for a person to be chayv. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Uriminu, hakareya b'chamaso, ubavalo, valmeso chayiv. One who tears because he's angry, he tears because in avelis, he tears because some other mace, so that person's chayv chatas. Even though such a person was mechal Shabbos, in doing so, yatsa yedei kriya. He's fulfilled his obligation of a kriya. We know there's an obligation of a kriya for a relative, the seven closest relatives. So even though he violated Shabbos, he's yotze. So how can that be? We said in the Mishnah, a person who's korea chamaso, korea meso is pater. But this Bryce says a korea meso, korea chamaso is chayiv. So lokasha habemes didei. Depends whether it's his mace, his relative who died, or a mace in general. What's the difference? So Rashi says, if it's his own relative, when the Braisa says you're chai for tearing on a mace, it's his own mace, one of the seven relatives, that there's an obligation to tear kriya. Hokach kriya didei lav kilkahu el tikkun. He's accomplished the mitzvah of kriya, so therefore it's a tikkun. Our mission is when a person tears kriya for some other relative, some other mace, he might know, it might be a friend or a neighbor, but no obligation to tear, so nothing has been accomplished, so our mission is strictly a kilkel, and therefore pater. Now the Yerushalmi asks a very interesting question in terms of being yotze kriya. How could he be yotze mitzvah when violating Shabbos mechal Shabbos? It's a mitzvah babi avera. So how does that work? Why are you yotze? And it says, moreover, the Yerushalmi points out, if you steal matzah and you eat matzah, you're not yotze your mitzvah matzah. So how come when it comes to matzah, we say matzah b'avera, you don't get the mitzvah? When it comes to kareya, we say you are yotze the mitzvah, it's mechal Shabbos. So Yerushalmi seems to distinguish between a cheftz and a gavra. There's a big discussion, Rav Yosef Engel and other places, about the nature of a mitzvah b'avera. Rav Zsolti has a beautiful piece, if those want to take a look, in Mishas Yaveh, it's on in mitzvah b'avera. But the pashup shot is that there's a cheftz and a gavra. The matzah, when you steal the matzah is a cheftz shel isser right now. It's stolen, it's guzzle. So you can't be yotze on the object, the mitzvah b'avera. However, when it comes to the case of Korea, the beg is not a, it's not a, this is not a chefsishel iser. There was a mice iser done to it. It's not a chefsishel iser, it's a talus, it's a shirt. And therefore, the only time mitzvah babavera is puzzle is when it's a chefsishel iser, like a matzah. But when it comes to just a mice iser done, that does not prevent the mitzvah from taking place. That's the simple understanding of the Yerushalmi, but there are many other interpretations as well. The way the Maariv Ghazi explains is, the way you distinguish between a chefs shel iser versus a mice iser is, will that iser remain forever? So guzzel, when you steal something, it's aser. It doesn't depend on time. It's aser until you've returned it. But that's not a zman, that's an action. As opposed to the mice kriya is only aser on Shabbos. But when the moment Shabbos is over, then the mice kriya is permitted. So that's how you would distinguish between a chefs shel iser versus not. I'll share with you a ritva. There's a fascinating ritva in Sukkah, which says that the only time mitzvah b'avera is puzzle is when you're trying to accomplish a mitzvah that's a kapara, that's a ritzui. So the example that that he brings, it's a chiddush, but lulav hagazel is a classic example where the Bavli talks about mitzvah baba avera. And there, the ritvas is mechadish, it's not such a chiddush though, but he's mechadish that lulav hagazel, lulav is bala ratzos, it comes to appease Hashem, to ask for kapara. The Gemara in Tainus in the beginning of that Beis Mabeis says we're davening for rain. So it's a form of tefillah, it's a form of ritzui. So when you need ritzoi, that's when a mitzvah b'avera comes and disqualifies it. But if it's not ritzoi, so then it's okay. So lulav would be ritzoi, and therefore it would be disqualified by lulav agazel. But when it comes to kriya, tearing kriya, there's no ritzoi. Tearing kriya is not about being meratzat Hashem at all, and therefore it would be acceptable. The big kasha they ask in the ritzvah is this Yerushalmi though. Matzah is not a ritzoi. Eating matzah is not a ritzoi. So according to the ritzvah, you should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah, even though it's guzzle, because there's no ritzoi by matzah. Lulav, you're davening for rain. What ritzoi is there by matzah? So that's the big kasha they ask on the ritva, but it's, of course, a very interesting discussion about mitzvah b'avera.
So he doesn't do any difference between
chefetz
and
gavra? He does that. Ritva does that. Ritva is b'chalik. Another area comes up by the shofar, guzzle. Shofar, guzzle, it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, and you could be yotzei when you steal a shofar. So the pashup shot understanding is, because the Rambam thinks the mitzvah of tkiya shofar is hearing. You don't need the tkiya, you don't need to blow into a shofar, it's the shmir. The Ravid says, no, the mitzvah is to blow, the tkiya, you need the chatzah to blow into. So it's about tkiya versus shmir. But for the Ritva understands that shofar is also balaratzos. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav, that when you blow a shofar, it's zichron ki lefnim, it's ki fly lefnim, it's as if you're going to the Kodesh Kedoshim with the shofar. So there's a certain ritzoi that a shofar has as well, and the ritva paskin that a shofar gaza will be pasul because it's a type of ritzoi mitzvah. Okay, let's go weiter. We're running out of time now. It's already 6:52. The Gemara says Uraminhu, so we did that already. Let's jump down now. Hagwe's at Lokasha, Habi Mace Dide, Habi Mace Alma. One's his own mace, one's a mace ba'alma. You only chayv when you're doing your own mace, because that's a tikkun. Doesn't it say his own mace in the Mishnah? And yet it still says you're pater for tearing for one's own mace? Leolam b'mace did they. Really, we're talking about his own mace. U'b'hanoch d'la b'nei avelsenu. So, no, the person can have a friend, a relative, a cousin, who it's his own mace, it's a relative, but he's not chayv in shiva, he's not chayv in avelis, because it's not the seven closest relatives. So you could still have a mace d'day that's not chayv in avelis, and one would be pater for tearing on Shabbos, because he hasn't accomplished anything, because of no chayv shiva, no chayv kriya. V'chachamu, if the person who dies a chacham, chiyuva michayv, you're chayv to tear kriya for a tamn chacham who dies, desanya, chacham shemes, hakol krovav, chacham who dies, everyone's his relative. Hakol krovav, sakadayach, everyone's a relative? Not true. I'm not relative of this tamn chacham who died. So, ela ema hakol ki krovav, everyone is like a relative, and hakol korin olav, everyone has to tear kriya for a big tamn chacham who dies, hakol chaltzin olav, everyone has to do the chalitza of removing the shoulder, that's a gemara moed katan, what that means, hakol mevarin olav, everyone has to do the sudas havra, berichov, in the street, so everyone acts, treats himself like a relative. So if a relative, rather if a Talmud Chacham dies, and then there's a Chiyuv Kriya, so our Mishnah can't be describing a mace that's a Talmud Chacham, because then there would be a Chiyuv Kriya, and there'd be a Tikkun in doing so. So lo tshicha de lav Chacham, well you're right, so our Mishnah is a case where it's not a relative, nor is it a Talmud Chacham, so there's no Chiyuv Kriya. Now the Gemara says, well there's another category where you have to tear Kriya, e Adam Kasher, if it's an Adam Kasher, just a very Yasha person, lav dafka Talmud Chacham, who Chiyuv Mechayiv, you also have to tear Kriya. This Hani, the Baisa says, and why do young boys and girls, why do young children die when they're young? In order that their father should cry and he should be misabel when Adam Kasher dies afterwards, which is a strange thing. So Gemara says, Kidei Sheyivka, he should cry? Arvuna Shakli Minei, we're taking a loan from him, that he should lose his children to cry, and he should make it up after the fact for an Adam Kasher? No, it's the reverse, really. Ella, Mipnei Shelo Bacha, V'Sabel Adam Kasher. Because when an Adam Kasher died, he didn't cry, he didn't properly mourn the Adam Kasher as a punishment, such a person loses his children, Rachman al-Tzlan, when they're young. Shekola Bochel Adam Kasher, those who cry when Adam Kasher dies, Mochlin Lo Al Kol Avon Osav, he is going to be Mochel, all his sins, it's like a day of Yom Kippur almost, because of the great honor and respect he showed this individual. So the Gemara says, you're right. Our Mishnah, again, is Lo Tzicha, Delav Adam Kasher. Meaning our Mishnah is not a relative, our Mishnah is not a Talmud Chacham, and our Mishnah is also not an Adam Kasher, and that's why when a person tears Kriya, he's Pater, because there's no Chiv when it's none of those three. Now, Vida Kai B'Shas Yitzir, there's a fourth instance where a person might have to tear Kriya. A person is present B'Shas Yitzir's Neshama. If he's there, where the Neshama leaves the body, Chayuv HaMechayiv, you're also Chayiv to tear Kriya. The Sani, the Baraita says that Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, HaOmid Al HaMeis, one who stands above a mace over a dead body, or while he's dying, B'Shas Yitzir's Neshama, he's Chayiv Likra. Ha L'mazadoma, what is it similar to? The Sefer Torah Shadisva. You see a Sefer Torah burning, you need to tear Kriya. So if you see a life in Neshama depart the body, it's like a Sefer Torah burning, you need to tear Kriya. So the Gemara says, you're right. So our Mishnah again is Lo Tzicha de Lo Koy B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. A person's not there, he was not present when the Neshama left the body. So our Mishnah again is not a relative, it's not a Talmud Chacham, it's not an Adam Kasher, nor was he B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, which means there's no Chiyuv Kriya, and if he does do a Kriya, he's Pater because it's simply a Kilkel Ba'alma. So Gemara says, okay, Tinach Meso, we've answered the Stira when one Brisa says you're Chayiv for tearing for Mace, and one Mishnah says you're Pater. But El Chamasa Chamasa Kasher, we still have the current question, of our Mishnah says, well, you tear when you're angry, you're pater. But the Brayis and the Gemara says, when you tear when you're angry, you're actually chayiv. So how do you reconcile this stira? So chamasa, chamasa, nami lo kasha. This too is not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, da mar melacha, shen tzicha l'gufa, you're chayiv, aleha. When you do a melacha that's not needed, you're chayiv. That's our Gemara here. The Gemara says, you tear al chamaso, you're chayiv, it's melacha, shen tzicha l'gufa. But our Mishnah is Ha Rabbi Shimon, da mar melacha, shen tzicha l'gufa, is pater aleha. So that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara now says, Eimar, d'shmasa, the Rabbi Yehuda, the b'misakin, granted, we said, melacha, shen tzicha l'gufa, it's chayiv according to Rabbi Yehuda, but that's only when the melacha itself is a misakin, it's a tikkun. But the Makalka, when it's destructive, like our Mishnah, just tearing, Mishmasai, did Rabbi Yehuda say your chayv on Mlacha, Shantuch Lagufa, Bimakum Kilkel? Certainly not. So then Amar Rabbi Abin, Hai Nami Masakinu. This is also a tikkun. Even the Mishnah itself is a tikkun, even though it seems destructive. What's the tikkun? Because Nachas Ruach Yitzro. When a person's angry and he takes out his anger by tearing a shirt, he's now Nachas Ruach. He now is able, the anger subsides. That also is considered a tikkun as well. And therefore, since it's a tikkun, Rabbi Yehuda would say you're chayiv. Ukiagav the Mishari, is that allowed? Could a person take out his anger on a shirt? Vatani the Brisa says there Rishuman ben Elazar Omer Mishum Chilfa bar Igra. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Hamakar begadah b'chamasa. A person who tears his clothing because he's angry, or he's meshaber keil b'chamasa, or he breaks utensils and pots because he's angry. Hamifazer ma'osa b'chamasa. A person who throws the money out in the street because he's angry, yeh b'nechak over the avodah zara. He should be treated as if he worshipped the avodah zara. What does that have to do with the avodah zara? By breaking things. So shekach umunasa shel yetzahara. That's the nature of the yetzahara. Tahayom today, omer lo asekach. Do this. Not a big deal. Tear your shirt. And Lamach, the next day, when you start listening to him, he's going to tell you, Ase kach, do something else. And he slowly desensitizes you until finally, Ad she'omer lo, avod avodah zarah, v'holech v'over. And eventually, you end up listening to him to worship an idol. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, my crow, what's the pasuk that supports this concept of the nature of the Yetzihara? So he says, lo yeh v'cha el zar, don't have a strange god, v'lo seshach v'le'el necha, or a distant and alien god. Ezu el zar sheyesh begufa shel adam. What is a foreign being that exists in the body of man? Have the omer zayetzahara, which is constantly telling us to do things we shouldn't be doing. So the Gemara says. So either way, we see you can't do this. How could you be allowed to tear something clothing and yet call the tikkun? It's certainly it's not proper midos. Lo tzricha de ka'avid lemirma emasa ayin shebeso. It's a situation where he wanted to instill fear in his family and his children. Not no. And the Rambam says no one should ever have any anger. But you could pretend to be angry, the Rambam says. So a person tears a shirt to pretend he's angry just to make sure there's proper discipline in the house. Kihad the Rav Yehuda Shalaf Mitzuvyasa, he would pull the edge of a garment, of a cloth, to show he was angry. Rav Acha, pretend he was angry. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Tavar Mane Tavir, he'd break Kalim. Rav Sheshes Rami Le Lamse, Monine Aresha, he would throw some fish brine at the head of his shivcha, not a very nice thing, but he would throw oil or something at the lady working in the house. Rabba Abba Tavar Nachtama, he would break the top, the lid of a pitcher. And Amar Bishuban and Pazi, Amar Bishuban Levi, Mishum Bar Kaparah, that Kol HaMorid, the Maos Al Adam Kasher, a person who sheds tears because Adam Kasher dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sofron Umanichan, Gnazim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, counts those tears and he preserves them in his storage house. Shenemar says, "No de sefarta ata sima dimasi benodecha halo b'sefersecha." He places the dimaso in a node in some type of jug and b'sefersecha, and he counts them as well. And Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ha-misatzel behesbeidel shachacham. A person who's lazy in his eulogizing of a tamal chacham, roy lekovu b'chayv. That person's worthy of being buried alive if you disrespect the tamal chacham. Shenemar vayikberu also begvul nachalaso. He buried him in the borders of the nachla. B'tivnas serach hashe b'har farim mitzvon lehar gaash. What does that mean? Melamed sheroga shaleim har lohergan. That the mountain was so, was trembling, was shaking, because wanting to kill them, because there was an improper hesped on Yeshua ben Nun. And let's finish the Gemara really quickly. Now, Amar Bichi bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, kol misatzel behespedo shel chacham, a person who's lazy in the eulogizing of a chacham, ein amarach yamim, will not see long life, mida kenegemida, shenemar besaasa bishalcha tivenu. With mida kenegemida, we always measure things properly, so this person didn't properly send off the talmud chacham, so to this person's going to die early. Maybe we'll stop here. And if it's late for davening, Mirta Hashem, we will continue, I guess, together on Sunday. Everyone have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.